AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com. AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Welcome back to The Cinnamon Effect. I'm Kimberly Hand, and today I am thrilled to have award-winning interior designer and television personality Krista Waterworth Alterman with us today.
Hey there, and welcome to The Cinnamon Effect podcast. I'm your host, Kimberly Hand, and I'm thrilled to have you with me on this vibrant journey of discovery and growth. This podcast is your go-to space for embracing intention, where you'll find clarity on your unique path, deepen those meaningful connections, and unleash your creativity like never before. We'll explore how to build unshakable confidence and celebrate the beauty of gratitude, all while savoring the calm that consistency brings to our lives. Thank you for being with me. Let's sprinkle a little cinnamon into your day and make life sweeter, healthier, and more fulfilling.
Known for her work on HGTV's Save My Bath and DIY Network's The Vanilla Ice Project, Krista founded KH by Vesta Home, a premier luxury design firm in Palm Beach Gardens. With her signature coastal luxury aesthetic, she has transformed spaces for an elite clientele. Join us as we dive into Krista's inspiring journey and creative vision in the world of interior design. Welcome, Krista.
Thank you. That's quite an intro. I love that.
I said Vanilla Ice with emphasis because I was obsessed with Vanilla Ice back in the day.
How could you not be?
I mean, is he cool? Is he as cool as everyone thinks he is?
He is so cool. Okay. He is very interesting. He's super fun. He's wild as you would possibly imagine. But he is just a great guy. Really is.
I love that.
I did 9 seasons with him.
So you know him well. I would think.
Too well.
Yeah.
I always say, like, the real show is the behind the scenes of the Vanilla Ice Project. That's the real show.
Oh, I bet. I bet. Lots of personality and lots of... What were you doing? I actually remember the show. I remember watching it because he was local. Yes. You know, so kind of local celebrity here in South Florida. So I feel like I had, you know, was kind of paying attention to it. But what were you doing on that show with him?
So he flipped houses.
Okay.
And he flipped luxury homes. And I would come in and actually help him furnish the home prior to the sale, prior to it going on the market. And I would also help him along the way with design choices. He never listened to my choices. He always flew his own way, which is another reason to love him. And then we shot actually a pilot for a new show, which the network did not pick up. But it was a really fun idea for a show called Vanilla Ice Flip Advice. And it was like 3 flippers would come and pitch their idea. And then he would pick the best flip and he would invest in their project and we would design the home together.
Oh, that's so cool.
It was awesome.
Oh, I'm sad that they didn't pick it up.
I know.
Now, did you meet Vanilla Ice first or were you paired with him through the network?
I did television, as you know, as you said in the intro, I did 8 shows on HGTV. So I did Bad, Bad Bath, Save My Bath. Then I did Splurge and Save. Then I did a network show called Restaurant Impossible on the Food Network. And a lot of specials. And then I moved down here and moved my business down here. And his show was shooting locally. And even though I was leaving television, the network said, we love what you did on these shows. And we know that you're down in Florida. Maybe it's a quick and easy fit. And it worked out.
That's so cool. I mean, to be on HGTV as a designer is like the pinnacle. But it seems like you did that maybe early on in your career. So did you like flip the order?
I think I did.
Yeah. How did you do that?
That is such a great question. I get that question a lot. And the what happened was I was studying to be an actress and I wanted to be a television actress. So I was out in Los Angeles. I was living in New York, went out to Los Angeles, was auditioning for a bunch of series regular roles. And my agent said, I was like, I'm not booking anything. I need to pay my rent. And he was like, well, if you want, maybe we can send you out for some hosting auditions and maybe you can book some of those. Those are easier to book and you can pay your bills in the meantime. So he said, make an audition tape. So I went back to New York. I made an audition tape with my husband doing a tour of my tiny New York City apartment.
Love it.
All my DIY projects. That boyfriend became my husband. And then I actually booked my first audition from that tape.
Oh my gosh.
I know. It was crazy.
But you were not a designer at the time?
I was not a designer.
No, you were not a designer. Okay.
And back then on HGTV, no one was a designer.
Interesting.
Like, I didn't do any design work on my first shows. I had a full art department. And it wasn't until later I went back to school, studied at Parsons, and then realized, wow, I'm really good at this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I love that. So do you feel like, you know, sometimes you have this dream, like, I wanted to be a television reporter. And I realize now that maybe that really was not my calling or not what I should have done. Do you feel that way about acting? Are you like, oh, like I wish I would have been an actress? Or are you like, no, my real calling was to be a designer?
That's also a really good question. I have a feeling you're going to have a lot of good questions today.
I hope so.
Well, that's why this is so popular. You're so popular. Yes, I would say that no matter what I was doing in my life, something always pulled me back to interior design. And I think it starts with obsession. I think being successful in any business has to start with some type of obsession. I think passion really isn't enough. And I think I've always been obsessed with interior design. I've always been obsessed with the industry itself and the art and the craft of it. And I'm reading this book right now actually called Mindset. And this woman kind of talks about how obsession, if fed with the proper positive mindset, actually creates the most successful results. And her whole book is about, you know, how people can learn anything. It's not about DNA. And she uses Mozart as an example. Like, Mozart was obsessed with music as a little boy. And then that obsession helped him to surround himself with all the right people, all the right tools, all the right rituals, which is that positive mindset. And that brought him to great success. Of course, his obsession kind of turned into something a little darker. But if you do it properly, like, and you have all the right tools and the right people, like for me, I have to do a nighttime meditation. I have to do, I have the people around me that inspire me. My husband like runs my business. My kids inspire me. Nature inspires me. I do journaling, you know, all of these things that have to be, create this positive mindset to feed the obsession. Because the obsession is, I'm sure you have this too. It keeps you up at night. Sometimes it's all you think about during the day. It's probably why you put your phone down, right? Because you have that on your mind. And that's kind of, if you feed it in the proper way, it leads to great success.
Do you feel like that's like attraction? You're like attracting these things to you because you are obsessed with it and thinking about it all the time?
I
always think that, you know, like I'm thinking about it. That's what I'm drawing to me because I'm thinking about it so much, right?
Yeah, I think you're right. It's almost like
maybe.
That. It's like you're putting it out in the universe, yeah. Right? That energy. It's like it's just you're throwing it out. It's coming back. And the more you throw it out, the more it comes back to you.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what you're. Yeah, I agree.
So I have a funny little side note story to tell you. I have been drinking out of a KH Home cup, a Yeti, for like, I swear, probably over a year or more. And I've had this cup for a long time. I don't know where I got it. And then, you know, Holly connected us and I was like, oh my gosh. Yeah, Krista. Okay. I put like two and two together that I have this Yeti cup, this black Yeti cup. I have a picture of it. I'll show it to you. And so I'm like, in a weird way, that was like manifestation that we were going to meet. I feel like I've been drinking out of your cup for a year.
That is so cool.
Isn't that cool?
Wow. I love that whole like thought that I'm filling, I'm filling your cup with good things. And then
I like that.
Somehow,
I like that.
We ended up together. You probably got it at a school from a school event,
yes.
I would imagine.
Yes. After a second thought, I was like, oh, that's probably where. But it was funny that I didn't know you, didn't, you know, really know anything about you until, you know, that I started learning about you and thought you'd be so interesting to have here on the show. And obviously you are a ray of light, positive energy. I can feel that. So I love that you're here on The Cinnamon Effect. I want to talk about like kind of early beginnings too. You were a competition cheerleader. Is that right?
Wow. You went back in the vault.
Yeah.
Yes. Actually, I was a competition cheerleader. My high school team won the New England Championships.
Oh, wow.
In my junior year. And we were invited down to Orlando to compete. And that was pretty phenomenal. We, of course, came in very last.
Yeah, really?
Because when you're competing against the Southern teams, first of all, we had no boys on our team.
Oh, so no lifting.
Yeah.
And
everybody was a great tumbler, which you have to be if you're in competition cheer. But it was still a phenomenal experience to have. And what a great way to learn how to work in collaboration with a team.
Yes.
Right? When you're doing competition cheer, there has to be so much trust. And I feel like that was a kernel of how I run my team now, mm-hmm. you know, and knowing that it's possible to be connected with people and create something really spectacular, mm-hmm. you know, and that connection is so important and that trust is really important. So it is funny that you bring that up and how these things kind of, these little moments in our lives create who we are as
yes.
people. And hopefully we take the positive ones and we carry them into the success of our lives in general.
Yeah, I feel like it's like no mistake that, you know, maybe you are on this team and you're a cheerleader and now you're running your own team of people and obviously like very happy and I can see you as this cheerleader for your team, right? So you were Krista Holm and then you were acquired by Vesta. Do you want to talk about that? Like, I feel like I don't hear about interior design firms being acquired by larger companies. Is that something that's like unique?
It's very interesting
okay.
that this happened. Now, it was on my trajectory to want to go big. I always knew that I didn't want to be a small company, a small sort of mom and pop shop. I always knew I wanted to grow and get bigger. I didn't realize that I meant that what I really wanted was to scale and potentially become national. Mm. And so everything led in that direction. Then when this acquisition request came along, I really looked at it seriously and said, okay, this is kind of cool, right? Mm-hmm. That you're right. It's unique. A very small boutique firm is often not acquired by a large national brand. Mm-hmm. But I will say in the industry today, collaboration is the new competition. And especially within the interior design space. And I think in general, smaller companies are coming together or at least collaborating for a bigger message. And that's kind of what we're doing. They brought us on as a way to grow their interior design division because right now they have staging and furniture on lock. And we are helping them to professionalize and grow interior design, starting in the state of Florida and then taking it national.
And so you are still a part of it and designing for them on a daily basis.
Oh, yes.
Taking on projects.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm still running KH.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing really has changed,
okay.
except now we have the infrastructure to support us. And that means that I don't have to worry about paying my bills at the end of the month. I don't have to worry about, you know, if there's any issues happening in the environment, politically, you know, in real estate that can potentially affect a small business and mm-hmm. sometimes kill a small business. Mm-hmm. I have the infrastructure and the trust and the expertise to help support the business no matter what happens.
What is that confidence? I would think that's like a huge confidence boost to know that you're supported. Like, what does that feel like? Going from maybe feeling like you are responsible for your team and then being able to have this freedom, so to speak.
It is so freeing. I go to bed at night with one less thing to worry about. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm still running a very busy luxury interior design practice that comes with daily issues and problems and people. People are the hardest thing about interior design, the people, the clients, and the employees. Yeah. You know what I mean? Managing people is really hard. And it takes like, it takes a strong but humble persona or perspective, I should say. I think that the biggest part of the acquisition that has been so amazing is that I can go to sleep at night feeling like I have the support. It has made me busier because now I'm running a full interior design practice for the state of Florida as opposed to just our little Palm Beach County. Mm-hmm. So we're doing a lot more work in Miami. We're doing work up in Vero. We're going to be going out to Naples, opening satellite offices there. We're also growing our New York City and Hamptons practice because we have Vesta has a lot of, you know, wonderful teams up there as well. So it's very busy, but it does feel good to know that I'm not alone anymore.
Yeah. That's amazing. That's really cool. Now, how is it different to design versus stage? Like, do you want to talk about that difference of designing a space versus just, I don't want to say just staging a space, but it's for a very specific period of time, you know, in the selling process, right?
Absolutely.
So you want to talk about how you tackle that differently.
I love that question because people do get very confused. Mm-hmm. Staging design and interior design are actually completely opposite in almost every way. Staging design is very short, quick, fast, and it's with furniture that needs to be used over and over again. Mm-hmm. And interior design is a long process. It's a very personal process. It's about one family and one family brand, one home. And each piece in that home is selected one by one, you know, in order to craft a space that fits and works with their lifestyle and how they function in their home. Interior design happens also before the sale of a home, right? And after. So we're there doing during the build curation, during new construction, doing all the selections of those materials. My team is like extremely talented, some of the best I think around. Like they were all handpicked specifically for their level of expertise. They're very technical designers. So we work on large scale new construction, large-scale renovation, and all of that build portion of interior design. And then once that's done, we obviously come in and do all the pretty things, the furniture, the fabrics, and all of that that completes the home. And we even do a concierge service for our VIP clients where we stock pantries with their favorite pots and pans and, you know, kitchens and all of that. So it's like a full-scale turnkey service.
I love that. Stock the pantry. I'm in on that. I read where you said that clutter is the enemy of luxury. And I truly believe this. I do have a background in feng shui. And so I really am very sensitive as a person to clutter. And I think you can have clutter like in your emotional space. You can have it in your mental space, your physical space. But tell me about clutter is the enemy of luxury.
That's a pretty good quote. When did I say that? I love it.
I think you said it. Am I misquoting you? I don't know.
No, I love it. I completely agree with that. Like, I feel like clutter kills the soul. I feel like too much stuff, and we're going through this maximalism phase right now in interior design, where maximalism is like the thing, and it's becoming very trendy. And I think that just came out of like a post-COVID, you know, where people are just wanting to feel so surrounded by their things and comforted by their things. Because we had to pare back so much. Like COVID was all about paring back and staying away and, you know, keeping, you know, all of that simplicity. So I think it grew from that. But for me, on all of my projects, we have a professional organizer come in and organize the home before we leave the house. Mm. on every single project.
Wow.
They organize all the closets, the kitchen, the bathrooms, because I feel like if you don't have organization, it interrupts a way of life. Mm-hmm. I think it gets in the way of, it's like our home is the outward manifestation of our inner life, right?
Absolutely.
So if you're seeing a bunch of stuff around, like it just feels like your brain is also cluttered.
Yes.
And so I really believe in that philosophy, that it needs to be clean, organized, and that's going to make your life function better mm-hmm. and make you feel better.
Yeah, it's not just about pretty things. You know, it is about the functionality and the you know, just the organization of it all. I know when I'm actually moving, I'm in the process of moving. So, and I'm boxing up things and the boxes are in my house and it's really just driving me nuts because it's clutter, it's visual clutter. It doesn't look nice. It's cardboard boxes, you know, and it's really like affecting me. I cannot wait until this is over, you know? So yeah, I love that you have an organizer come in at the end. I feel like that's not a lot of interior design firms do that.
No.
Do they? No. That's no. Like a step above.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I'm probably one of the most expensive firms in the area for a reason. Mm-hmm. Like, what we offer is really full-scale service. And I believe service is a calling. My husband and I, we stay at the Four Seasons a lot. When we have a day off, it's like my favorite hotel chain. And we don't get a lot of days off. We're both complete workaholics. But when we do get a day off, I'm like, let's go stay at the Four Seasons. We were just there a couple of weeks ago, actually, in Manalapan at our Four Seasons.
Yeah, so nice.
It is so nice. And I was like, the reason why I love this hotel is not only the service, but the level of expertise you get when you go to a place like that. And that sort of the epitome of that type of service is that the answer is yes, even if in reality, the answer is no. Mm. And that's kind of my clientele too, right? So I was like, let's put this to practice. It was 12 o'clock at night. I called down to the front desk and I was like, can I have a Reese's peanut butter cup?
I love this.
We're watching a movie. Can I have a Reese's peanut butter cup? And I, of course, they said yes. Uh-huh. When in reality, I knew the shop was closed. No one was making Reese's peanut butter cups in the kitchen. You know, it wasn't easy for them to get. But wouldn't you know, 20 minutes later, on a silver tray, someone comes up with a Reese's peanut butter cup. And I was like, I know that some poor valet had to run across the street or up the road to the 24-hour Walgreens to get me Reese's peanut butter cup. But that is what good service is. And that's what, when I say service is a calling, that's what's most important. That's why we pay extra, a lot extra, to stay at the Four Seasons. And that's why people pay me a lot, because that's the kind of service they're getting.
What is your peanut butter cup that you're doing? Like, what is the peanut butter cup that you are delivering to someone? Like, name the craziest thing that you've done.
Oh my gosh, there's so many. Well, on the Vanilla Ice Project, there's a lot of crazy things. But okay. No, there's many things that people will ask for that I think is like amazing. Right now we're doing these big wellness retreats and it's different for every client. Like every client is completely different. Every home is completely different. And there's no way you can ever encapsulate like what people want at the end of the day without really getting to know who they are, you know? And so we're doing these wellness retreats and people ask for all kinds of crazy things. You know, we just did a stretch room in someone's, just a room for stretching.
Love it. Love it. I'm so glad we're talking about the wellness because obviously on this podcast, that's what we talk a lot about. So I want to know all the wellness things.
Okay. Awesome. Well, we do a lot of professional athletes. A lot of my clients are professional athletes. So obviously those people need a lot of rest, rejuvenation, and, you know, they need to be able to recharge. And so it kind of started with those types of clients. But now it's really the average person asking for these types of things in their homes. And we've got the cold plunges. We've got the infrared saunas. We've got massage rooms. And, you know, things like that where people really need to balance themselves mm-hmm. in life. And I think certainly in this area where there's a certain age demographic, it's going to be probably a little bit more popular, right? Mm-hmm. People, when they retire, really are more interested in wellness than maybe when you're younger. Mm-hmm. But I think it's getting more popular across the board. You must be seeing it.
Yeah. Well, in my own space, I had a guest room and only had one extra room for a guest bed. And I realized nobody was really coming to stay. So I cleared out the bed and I put an infrared sauna in there. I have a mat. I have some free weights. I have my rebounder. I kind of set up my own little wellness space in there. So, and it was the best thing I ever did.
Oh,
now, you know, my mother-in-law couldn't stay the night, but, you know, we traded off and the wellness space was just so much better served in our family. So, like, I feel like instead of, especially when you only have a certain amount of bedrooms and you don't have an extra bedroom, it's like, why are you setting that up for the occasional guest? Why not make it something that you're going to use and get a lot of use out of? And it actually ended up being like my happy place. Was that room.
Oh, that's awesome.
So my husband had his little man cave area and I had my wellness room and like we were good, you know? So
that's awesome.
Now, do you know anybody that can move an infrared sauna? Because now I'm like struggling with that. I think we're going to have to take it apart.
And, yes.
And we don't want to do that.
I think you have to call the manufacturer to help you with that.
Okay. Yeah. See, this is like a more in-depth thing. We're trying to figure this out right now.
You know, it's like when you have a Peloton, you don't ever want to move that. Or like we have a Peloton tread. I would never have just some normal Joe come take that apart. I would want my Peloton guy to come,
yes,
you know, and move that. So I would go to the expert. Always go to the expert.
Go to the expert. My husband actually put it together though.
Oh.
So I'm like, I think you can take it apart. He just doesn't want to do it because it's time consuming.
Right.
But he did put it together. He's
okay.
Kind of handy. So I don't know. I mean,
you're lucky.
We'll see.
I don't have one of those.
You don't?
No.
How is it working with your husband? What are your tips for doing that?
For staying together and not getting divorced?
Yes. Yeah, because I think that has got to be one of the hardest things.
It's hard. It is hard. So I go to the office and he works from our home office.
Okay.
My husband is a brilliant man. Like, he is the smartest person I've ever met in my life. And I'm not just saying that because he's my husband.
Oh, that's sweet.
It's true. And this acquisition never would have happened if it weren't for him, because that's what he does. He does technology acquisitions. He builds startups and then gets them either acquired or sells them. And so that was kind of his jam. So it really helped for him to have that experience. He's also a lawyer. So he does all the business side of KH, but he also runs his own practice where he consults on technology as well. So he's very busy. But the way we do it is, and I don't know that we do it well all the time, but the trips to the Four Seasons help.
Right.
It is about getting away, having time together that has nothing to do with work. That's number one.
Yeah.
We also really try not to talk about work after hours. That's another thing. And I go to the office and he works from home. I think that was a great shift for us.
Some good separation there. Yeah.
Absolutely. So there's a few things you can do. And of course, a wellness retreat in the house would help us as well.
Yeah, I think about like my own husband. We have very differing ideas. So we were just looking at houses and he'd be like, oh, I love this. And I'd be like, of course you love it because it's very quirky and weird. And he'd be like, okay. But like, just because we have different tastes, you know, thank God he lets me kind of do my thing. Or he'll defer to me, I guess.
That's
like,
good.
Well, if you like it, then, you know, it'll be okay.
Oh, you're lucky.
Yeah. But then he's got like the one thing that is really, so it's like, it's something, it's a sentimental thing that like has to be put up in the house somewhere and we have to find a place for it. And I just know I'm going to have to commit to like getting this particular item displayed somewhere.
Oh my gosh, I cannot tell you. It is always this way with men. And I don't want to stereotype that way, but It's even that way with my husband. Yeah. Like, he cares about certain things and they just have to be that way. The TV has to be this size. It has to be hung at this height. It has to be in this room, you know, and just needing certain things is so. I had a client whose husband needed a ping pong room in his house, like needed it. And she's like, we have to build a home and we have to figure out how to put a ping pong room in it.
Oh my God. You're like, couldn't that be in the garage? Right?
Oh my God. I will tell you, it was the sexiest ping pong room that anyone will ever see. Cause I was like, I needed to make her happy. Too, yeah. You know,
you had to make that work. So how do you, you know, avoid trends and go for something that's more classic? Or like, maybe are there some trendy things out there right now that maybe people are doing and you're like, no, you should, like, don't do that. We'd love to know your perspective on this.
Well, trends are, have a certain place, right? So when you think about trends, when I think about, like, let's say fashion, mm-hmm. you know, fashion is sort of the epicenter of where trends begin. And if you do it right at the luxury level, right, the trickle-down effect of a great trend on, let's say, the runway in a home can be really beautiful, right? But, and it's so funny because in The Devil, did you ever see The Devil Wears Prada?
Oh, yeah, I love that movie.
Right. So in that movie, she talks about her cerulean sweater, like the blue cerulean sweater that she bought at the Gap in the discount bin, right? And she gives her, Meryl Streep, gives her the whole story about how it started here on the runway. This color was popular and the trend just pulled its all the way down, went through all the channels from the very top to the very bottom and everything in between. And I think that if you do a trend properly, it can be timeless because trends have to become part of our vernacular at some point. They do mm-hmm. start somewhere and the good ones stay with us, mm-hmm. right?
So I love that scene in the movie when she's talking about the sweater. That's a good scene.
Oh God, yes.
Yeah, that's so good.
It is.
Okay, so tell me some trends. Like, can you think of any off the top of your head that maybe you're like, it's here today, gone tomorrow. Like, you think a trend that's going to be gone and maybe stay away from it.
Well, I will say I called this gray trend where everything was gray. I called that, I knew it was going to go faster than, like, it was going to be over very soon. And it did. It was like in and out, right? Everything was gray everywhere. And then it was out. Now we're dealing with a lot of this, like, natural meets, like, creamy, you know, kind of like almost like California modern vibe, mm-hmm. that is going out. Mm. And we're moving more towards, I'm going to say right now the big colors are kind of like olive green and mustard yellow. We're getting more into a color phase because I think we were so into white. And then the gray went to white, then went to cream. And now we're going into some more color, which I think is great. Mm-hmm. But you'll see these colorways throughout time, and some of them really make sense. And some of them make sense where you live, right? I mean, we live in Florida. Mm-hmm. There's certain color palettes that work for us here and that will continue to work because they bring in nature, the greens and the blues, the water, the ocean, the sky, all of those elements feel so natural for us here. Things like that, I think, are more classic and probably will withstand the test of time.
How do you design a more the coastal luxury aesthetic that is your specialty without it looking like cheesy, like, you know, where it's the too much ocean life, or you know what I'm saying? Like, it can take a real cheesy turn, I think, at point, you
yes.
know, like in certain houses, right?
Absolutely.
Do you have some tips for that? How to avoid it looking kitschy, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Okay. First of all, there should be no painted signs that say like sand, sea, or
yes.
the beach is that way, right. you know, or like, you know, shells can be done well, mm-hmm. but I think that shells often, especially when they're really fake looking shells, things like that. You want to take a more natural approach to coastal luxury if you want to bring those natural elements in, like real pieces of the ocean, driftwood and things like that. So I do feel that it really is about the selections of fabrics. I mean, make no bones about it. I am in a luxury service. It's not for everyone. What we create is art, you know, and it comes from my brain. It comes from my team's brain. It's about luxury. And not everybody, I had a really hard time with that. Not everybody understands that or gets that. And that's okay. That just means that the art that we create isn't for them. So when it comes to a luxury style home that has a coastal vibe, it is about these materials and these finishes that have more of a luxurious feel that will withstand the test of time. Belgian linens and real marble and, you know, oak wood and all these finishes that are rich and beautiful and a little bit more timeless than something like a bowl full of, you know, shells from Home Goods. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, but it all runs the gamut, right? Yeah. It's just not what we do.
No sign that says beach. But I also like no sign that says eat in the kitchen either.
Yes. We don't want to state the obvious. That's really what it's about.
Yeah. We can't have that.
Like I even honestly, when we put like art in people's homes and you see some of it here in the mothership, a lot of times the art, even if it's coastal art, it's not Florida coastal art. It's from it's coastal art from around the world, you know, photography. I'd rather that than be so obvious, like, okay, here's the picture of the Jupiter Beach, you know? So there has to be sort of a separation between reality and what is more ethereal. And that's what makes it more luxurious.
I love that. Where can we make an impact in our homes if we can't have a designer? Where do you think to spend the money? Where should we be spending the money? Is it art? Is it lighting? Where would you use the budget for?
Well, I think the communal spaces, where you spend most of your time. I think if you, that's where you need to focus. You know, the living room, family room, kitchen, that area is really where you should focus and spend the biggest part of your budget and the primary bedroom.
Make it sexy.
But you want it that if you're going to splurge and save, let's say, you want to splurge on the spaces you use the most and the spaces that you need the most, you know. So I think start there.
Okay.
The rest of the house can wait.
Yeah. The ping pong room can wait.
Yes. Not for those people, though.
I want to know, because you kind of alluded to it a little bit, your own wellness practices and things that you do in your life. You mentioned a meditation practice. Is there anything that you'd like to dive into? What's a typical morning like for you? Do you have a morning routine that you stick by?
I do. I actually do not pick up any screens until after I've had breakfast and my coffee. So I don't keep screens in my bedroom. Except for our TV, but that's because of my husband.
They always want the TV.
They always want the TV.
Yeah.
In the bedroom, though, I just like the thought of no electronics, you know?
Same.
Yeah.
The TV's a tough one, though.
Yes.
Do you ever conceal the TV in any of your designs? Like, is there any way to, like, I don't know, I've seen maybe like a cabinet type situation. Yeah.
We've done so many different types of ways to conceal TVs beautifully in cabinetry and things like that. Now there's the art TVs, which look like art. We use those a lot because they are really beautiful. They really do look like a piece of art.
So interesting.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen one in real life, to be honest.
I have one in my house. You can come check it out.
Okay, I'll come check it out. Because we're friends now.
Yes, that's right. You have my cup. I'm filling your cup.
I do. I have your cup. I've been drinking out of your cup for a year at least.
This is meant to be.
I know.
Yes, I meditate every evening. My husband also meditates. We have a meditation room in our house.
What does it look like?
It's very small.
Okay. I love a small space. You're still dedicating it to something that makes you happy.
Yes, and we have a meditation chair in there and really not much else. Mm-hmm. And it's where I go when I need to, you know, I need to recharge. I need to like reset, you know, which it's not easy to find that time. But I also journal. I do stream of consciousness writing, which really helps empty my brain. Because as you know, when you're a really busy person, your brain is always going, especially when you're obsessed.
Yeah, right.
As we say. So I always need to empty it, especially before bedtime.
And that is you just write whatever comes to your mind, even if it's not like a fluid sentence, right?
Okay. Whatever is in your mind, it's the weirdest things come out.
Wow.
But it is so freeing. And then I throw those journals out. I don't want anyone reading that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I feel like those are things that I need to implement. I also ride my Peloton pretty regularly. And I get sick every time this year because this is our really crazy busy time. So I really take a lot of pride in, I do liquid vitamins, you know, intravenous liquid vitamins, mm-hmm. which really have changed my life. And it's really just about ensuring that you're prepared even for those really busy times mm-hmm. so that you're taking care of yourself and you're strong and ready to face whatever comes your way. Mm-hmm. I think the preparation is more important because if you get there and it's a mess and you're a mess, you're going to fall apart and you're not going to have the strength to get through it. Mm-hmm. It's just like yoga. Like when you're in really painful poses in yoga, you have to like breathe through it mm-hmm. and be prepared for those moments when you know it's going to be like, okay, here it comes, yes. You know?
Yes. I think consistency brings that too. Like you rely on that to keep you strong and healthy and calm. And like you said, when the stress comes, it makes it easier to manage because stress is going to come no matter what.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What kind of meditation do you do? Is there a particular kind?
I do TM.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I did a TM course, a week-long course in Palm Beach, not this past May, but the May before. I did it for my birthday. It was like my birthday gift to myself. And I went down there and learned all about it and got my mantra. And,
oh, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So,
are you using it?
I am. I will say I was very consistent in the very beginning and it's fallen off to not every day, but I do use it and it does bring me so much calm. And it's like, what I like about TM is that it's like if you know your mantra and you do it for 22 minutes and like there's no frills to it. You don't have to visualize anything. You don't have to, you know.
So easy.
You don't think that you're doing it wrong. You know, it's like it's just easy to do. Yeah.
Totally. I agree with you.
Yeah. Yeah. So I really resonated with that. And actually, I was going to do a follow-up and just they reached out to me and said, would you like to do a follow-up? Just make sure you're like on the right track. And I think I should do that so that I really do get back on the right track.
That really helps.
Yeah.
You know, because you're right. Like we were doing it twice a day, like when we started, my husband and I, and our kids were pretty small at the time. I feel like that's the time. Now they're teenagers, but now it's even more stressful. But
yes.
But you know, back then it was more like a physical stress. Mm-hmm. Now it's more of a emotional, mental stress. Mm-hmm. So in both those instances, it really does work to do it.
Yes.
Know?
Yeah. And so you do it only in the evening. You don't do it in the morning.
Only in the evening.
Yeah. In the beginning, I was like morning and evening. Yeah. And that was really amazing. I was actually sleeping really well.
Yes.
Like there were so many benefits to it, but
totally.
It is kind of tough. Also, I don't want to like put that expectation on myself because then once I do and when I fall short, then I'm like really hard on myself
yes.
about it. I'm like,
you beat yourself up.
That's not the point of it.
It's not.
Right? Yeah.
Totally.
You
I agree.
Be like,
it's like the anti-point of it.
It's the anti-point of it, for sure. Is there anything else styling. I want to talk about styling a little bit because I actually have like a personal styling question.
Oh, I love this.
I do. I bought a house and beautiful kitchen, beautiful cabinets. But there's those cabinets up at the top that have glass and they really freak me out because like, what am I going to put in there?
Yeah.
What do I put in there, Krista? I've got to know.
Well, first of all, you have no idea how many of those cabinets I have styled over the years. And I am at this point in my career, I am like a serious expert in styling.
Yeah.
Like it's an art form and it takes years to cultivate it. And actually, I haven't even been able to find anyone on my team yet that can get to that level. I'm training them,
wow.
But it takes so long. Those cabinets, though, I think that you need to put, what I like to put in those cabinets are found pieces, things that are a little more interesting that you can't really use because you can't get up there. It's like not functional.
Yes.
It's really, it should just be artistic.
Yeah.
And it should be things that you really love, like that are cool to you. And they also have to be big enough so that you could see them through the glass. That's
yes.
the other thing. So when you're crafting whatever elements go up there, you want them to be visually present. You know, you don't want there to be like a pot or something really cool, and then you shut the cabinet and you only see the top of it, you know, or something.
Yes.
Like that. So we often prop things up so that they can be seen through the glass. We put things at the back too, stand up trays and plates at the back to give some visual interest to the back as well.
Okay.
And you probably don't want to do more than like 1 to 3 things in each cabinet.
Okay. That's a good rule of thumb. I like that.
Yeah.
I feel like I can abide by that rule. Now, are you putting colorful things up there? Or are you keeping it more neutral?
Does it depend
what your design is?
It depends.
House? Okay.
What you like. It depends on you.
Yeah. Okay. Because I'm really stressing about those things up there. Like, what's going to go in there?
Yeah.
Give me some more styling tips. I really like this because anyone can style their home. I mean, I know what you do is you know, professional. But if we're at home and we've got different elements, like, are there any kind of like rules of thumb that we could abide by?
Yes. I would say when you're styling shelves, let's say, because mm-hmm. that's always the big pain point. Mm-hmm. You know, you have this beautiful built-in and all these shelves. There are a couple of rules. You want to use 3 different materials and repeat them over and over.
Okay.
So like I just did some, the styling in the mothership here.
Mm-hmm.
So we used 3 different materials. We used gold finish materials. We used white materials. And then we used, I believe, some black elements. And what you want to do is repeat those elements a little bit on each shelf, so that there's a visual consistency to the collection. It should feel like a collection, let's say, that all coordinates well. It's almost like putting on an outfit. You've got your earrings, your dress, and your shoes, and they all need to coordinate, but you don't want them to like perfectly match. You want them to coordinate in one way or another. And you might bring in a bag that kind of repeats one of those elements. If you have gold earrings, maybe you have a gold bag, black shoes, black bag, you know. So there's a way to repeat, but I think it's best to have 3 things that you're repeating over and over. And then you can, once you get really good at it, you can bring in a few other elements.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to stick with 3. I think we're going to go with the 3. I like that though. That's really, I can visualize that. Now, what is your thought on mixing metals? Can you mix metals?
Of course you can mix metals.
Okay.
Well, I can mix metals. I don't know if you can mix metals.
Well, guess what? I'm actually mixing metals today. I have a gold necklace on and I have silver on my belt and I really questioned it when I put it on. And then I was like, no, I think I can do this.
I think it works because you have a little bit of silver around the diamonds.
Yeah, maybe there's a little silver in there. Yeah, so maybe it is coordinating.
It is.
I usually wear a black belt with a gold buckle on it. And today I just broke the mold and did something totally different.
I like that you broke the mold when you knew you were seeing me.
I know. And I was like, because I do think like you are obviously fashionable too. Do you think being an interior designer, you probably do have to be fashionable in your clothing as well.
Well, the way that I describe myself to my clients is I am your style guru. You need to be able to come to me with all of your style questions. And on top of that, you're coming to me to ask me what I think your style is, because that's what most people don't know about themselves. They don't know what their sense of style is, really. So I have to get to know who they are and then infuse all of my experience and expertise to explain and show them their style at the end of the day.
Interesting.
So that's, I think, what's most important is having that journey together where we discover the style of our clients. And I can only do that if I have a good sense of style,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
right? At the end of the day.
And do people come to you sometimes and they're like, oh, my style is modern. And then you really get down to it and you're like, your style really isn't modern. Maybe they think it's modern, but it's not. Because you help them through that.
Of course.
Discovery.
And a lot of times the wife's style is modern and the husband's style is traditional. And then how do we mix those together? Mm-hmm. Which is a really fun design challenge. I love design challenges like that because I really can master that for them. Not many people can. So I can kind of live in my confidence of knowing that I'm an expert at this. I can give you exactly what you need because of my experience and my expertise and my education and my obsession.
And your obsession. So how do you take someone that is modern and someone that's traditional? Like, give me an example of maybe something you would do to kind of blend those two styles.
Well, it has to happen all throughout the house, right? Because we only do whole homes. We don't just do a room or two. So we have to decide from room to room how we're going to do that. And it is not an easy undertaking because there has to be some things that make him happy and some things that make her happy. Now, I went to school at Parsons. All of my teachers were practicing interior designers. Most of them were famous. So they taught me and all of the students actually in our classes that you have to know and understand every single style of interior design and be able to master it. That's how you become the best at what you do. And so I do know every style in and out because I had to learn it in a painful way.
Yeah.
Because, you know, going to design school in New York City at Parsons is not an easy feat.
Tippity of the top.
Yes.
Right?
Super competitive, very competitive. And a lot of competitive people in there and everybody wants to be better than the next. So, but that experience really helped me to know and understand all the different styles, which means now it's easy for me to pull and bring them together. It just takes, you really have to do it one piece at a time.
Wow. Going to Parsons, what did you have to do to get in? Because it is so competitive. I mean, I don't know the process, but is there something that you have to do or?
Yeah, you have to present well, when I went back in the early 2000s, we had to present a portfolio. That had to be accepted. Then you had to come in and talk to the art team, which helped the dean decide if you're a good candidate. And then you have to go in and talk to the dean. And then you fill out the application to get in. So you have to go through a lot of different steps even to get to the application phase, which is pretty phenomenal. I don't know if it's still like that. And then a few years ago, actually Parsons called me to ask me to be an adjunct professor. So I taught at Parsons interior design.
What an honor.
I know. It was pretty cool. That was a full circle moment.
They must have thought you were a rock star student that they had.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It was pretty awesome.
That is very cool. Krista, what do you want to leave the audience with today? Design related, life related?
Wow. I would say the one thing I would want people to know is that art is life, and it's so important to infuse your life with not only beauty, but the beautiful things that make your heart sing. So always remember that. Your home should be filled with things that make your heart sing.
Oh, I love that. It's perfect. Yeah, you should feel good when you're in your home.
Yes.
That's beautiful. I want to thank you so much for coming on. So happy that we finally met. Heard so much about you drinking out of your cup. You know, it was bound to happen.
We might have to get your husband a cup too.
Oh, yeah. Well, don't kid yourself. He drinks out of that cup a lot. I think he actually said to me one time, like, who's this Krista? Like, I don't know.
Oh my God. That's
so he's going to love this. He's going to love this. And actually, did you ever do a short one?
Oh, yes.
He drinks his coffee out of that all the time. He does. I just like realized that we have a shorter one, coffee mug style.
I am all over Yeti. Your house.
Yeah, you are. And here you are in the flesh. So I'm so pumped.
Oh, that is so cool.
Okay. So tell everybody how they can find you or find your company.
Okay.
Give yourself a shout out.
Excellent. So you can find me at KristaHome.com. That's with a K, R-I-S-T-A, home.com. And you can also find me on Instagram at KristaHome. And please reach out to me. My personal email is Krista@KristaHome.com.
Oh, drop in the personal email. I love it. I love that. Krista Waterworth Alterman, thank you so much for being here today on The Cinnamon Effect.
Thank you. This was such an honor. Thank you for inviting me.
Anytime.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of The Cinnamon Effect. If you enjoyed our time together, don't forget to hit that follow button on your podcast app and sprinkle a little love by leaving us a 5-star rating and a quick review. Your support means the world to me. For even more goodness, check out the show notes where you'll find links to some of my favorite products. And don't forget to visit thecinnamoneffect.com to connect with me directly or to grab your TCE Gratitude Journal, your next step towards a more grateful life. I can't wait to spice things up with you again next time. Stay vibrant, stay inspired, and remember to add a little cinnamon to your life every day.